And when I looked closer, there was a Sasquatch face on the other side, and it was looking right back in at us.
Staring back at me is a silhouette of a very, very giant monkey.
An intriguing discovery is being investigated in a community east of Seattle. Someone came across a lengthy trail of extremely large footprints.
They are up there.
Welcome, everyone. You've tuned into the Nicola Valley Bigfoot Podcast, a place where your encounters are told. To share your encounter and to be on the show, email me at NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, my name's Margaret, and my encounter took place just this past year, end of September or beginning of October, I don't remember exactly. But what was happening, my husband and I were driving home from work about 3 o'clock in the morning. We work nights. And we were just driving along the highway. And though this is a relatively populated highway, not terribly, but there's businesses not far away where the lights from the businesses could still spill over into where we were at the time. And he was driving along, and I wasn't quite paying attention. I think I was looking at something in my lap. And he swerved the car all the way into the other lane and said, "Was that Bigfoot?" And I looked first at him, like, "Huh?" And then I looked back. And even though yes, it was dark, it was 3 in the morning, but the moonlight was bright enough that I saw something standing in the median of the road, like a person would do if they were trying to cross the street, but they stopped in the median. And it was at least up to halfway onto the street sign there, and it looked like it was holding the edge of the sign before it proceeded on, I guess. But so in those signs, I went back and measured, and they're 7 to 8 feet tall, depending on where the sign is located. And so this, whatever this was at least 7 feet tall and huge, just broad shoulders and long arms and long legs. But it was, as I said, a response to looking back. And so the lighting was just moonlight and taillights and some of the street lights. So I couldn't exactly tell color or see a lot of detail. But this is how I summed it up to my husband. We discussed it later. Tall, dark, and fuzzy is what I saw. And I said, "Yeah, I think that's who we saw." And he's always been the type of person who was kind of not skeptical, but just kind of, "Okay, well, maybe." I've always been like, "I know they exist. I know they're out there." But I never actually was, had until then. I never had any sort of encounter until then. Though when I told my mother later, she said that I had told her when I was little I had also seen one, but I don't know how accurate that is, and I don't actively remember it. But nonetheless, that was, it short and sweet, and it probably was only a matter of a few seconds, but I know what we saw. And my husband said all he had time to do was to make sure he didn't hit him on the road, because it was such a dark, such a dark figure trying to cross the road at 3 in the morning. And we're just glad we didn't hit him. And I was surprised, though, because, like I said, there are a whole lot of businesses right there. And you know, it's a busy enough road. It's not terribly busy at that hour, but usually quite busy. And we were just surprised that there would be one there. But now that I think about it, I'm not really surprised. I'm just happy.
Yeah, they tend to have that effect on people when you unexpectedly run into them, you know, and especially for people who do kind of believe that they do exist. And then once that sighting happens and it kind of cements that belief, yeah, okay, you know what? I wasn't wrong. These things are real. It kind of sounds like that's what kind of went on with you. Is that about accurate?
I think so. It was just very reassuring that it was there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so your husband's driving and
yes,
he swerves and he stops. How long did the Sasquatch stand there while you guys were stopped? Like, did it do anything in that time, or did it just immediately run, or did you guys drive away, or what happened after the sighting? Like, did it go?
It just sort of stood there holding on to the pole from the street sign, you know, like waiting for a bus. And I think it might have been as stunned as we were, because it had gone to step out into the road and we swerved. We didn't hit it, but we were shaken. It was probably shaken as well. And it just stood there until at least we drove away. It may have also been like, yeah, can't see me behind this sign. Nope, nope, nope. I'm part of the sign.
And did your husband almost hit it? Is that what made him swerve?
I'm not sure. I was looking down at the time, but I guess it's just like anything else. If a car starts to pull out too quick out of a driveway, for example, you can swerve around it. You may not have actually been even close to hitting it, but it's enough of a self-preservation aspect. But what I saw when I looked back was the being had, hard to explain, but you know, like, when you sort of step back suddenly to avoid getting run into by something, it looked kind of like, whoop, okay, don't not go yet.
Oh, I see.
So I don't think there was like an actual risk of anybody getting hit, but all the same, they were both being cautious.
Did you guys drive away immediately, or did you get out and look for anything, or was it, how did you?
No, we didn't get out. You know, we kind of pulled over a little bit and I looked back and evaluated, and then we said, yep, that's what we saw. And then we left, because even though I was glad to see him, you don't want to upset them.
Yeah.
And that was already probably a scary situation for them.
Oh, so I see what you mean. You didn't want to escalate it any further than it already was, type of situation.
Right.
Okay. I got
right. You just got scared by a car. You don't need people going, "Hi, do you exist?" Poke, poke, poke. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's about right. But Margaret, tell me something. Were there much Sasquatch activity in your area at all, or? Did you hear?
I looked into it afterward, but there's a few stories, but only like, I didn't find them out through word of mouth or anybody locally telling me someone else's encounter. I found them by going to turning to the internet and searching for our area. And there are some national tracking board, I forget what it was called, but they listed each state and then by county. And there were three or four different sightings reported from our county.
Oh, okay. Was it the BFRO?
So, yes, that's it.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right. Did you talk to anybody from the BFRO, did you just look up their website?
I just looked up their website. I tried to reach someone, but I really wasn't able to, so I started looking locally. And there was a group until a couple of years ago locally that was collecting stories, but they don't exist anymore. So I started venturing further out into different parts of the state and found some other groups, Facebook pages, etc. And so I was reading what happened within the state anyway. I thought that might give me a good idea if there was much going on.
And did you speak to someone like directly about your encounter and kind of tell them, you know, the story that you just told me?
In one of the slightly further away groups, the organizer of that group, I reached him and I said, can I tell you this story so somebody records it and can see if there's other similar things nearby? And he said, absolutely. So I told him, and he put it on their Facebook page.
Is it something that you don't want to really share with other people? I mean, like if a friend from work or you know, a family member or somebody, like, is it something you kind of want to keep on the down low, or is it something you'll openly talk about?
I would openly talk about it. I just don't quite know. It's not something that's just like, that there's a good segue in the conversation to bring it in. Yeah, but for example, I used to go camping in, you know, backwoods type camping with my father when I was really little. And so I think he's somebody that would absolutely love the story, as would my mother, because she loves to teach nature classes to kids in the summer. And I had an encounter with a bear once that I told her about, and she's like, can I tell the kids that? So I think they would both be thrilled to hear it. But we just don't have the opportunity where it comes up as a subject of conversation.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about that either. But I guess in my area, I'm kind of known as the Sasquatch guy, quote unquote, you know what I mean? So I have people, strangers, kind of come up and talk to me about their Sasquatch experience without me even mentioning anything. So it's kind of hard for me to put myself in someone else's place where it's not really that accessible or not that easy to talk to somebody about it. Even though you would, it's hard to segue that into a regular conversation without being there already. So I never thought of that. So I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, I could actually see it. I could actually see cause when it might come up, but it hasn't yet.
So how did you sleep that night? You and your husband, after this whole thing goes down, I mean, your adrenaline must be up. I mean, like you must have had some kind of conversation following this encounter. What did you and your husband talk about, and how did you sleep that night, or did you?
We turned over the whole thing over and over in our heads and with each other, because I think I said a few times, are you sure that's what you saw? And he said, yeah. He was a little bit rattled. but we talked about it frequently. And then later on, when I did make contact with that other group, and I said, I want to tell our story. Are you still sure of what you saw? And he said, yes, I am. Go ahead and tell him. And because I didn't want, if he had changed his mind and thought it was just a big guy with a backpack or something, well, then I wasn't going to say that he had seen something that he hadn't. But no, he maintains that that's what he saw. And every time we've talked about it since, and it does come up frequently between the two of us because it excites me and scared him.
Was that your husband's reaction, though? Was he actually genuinely frightened? I mean, I guess it's something.
I think it was more being shaken by almost hitting something, but then being surprised at what he swore he saw. Because he's not, you know, like I said, he's not really a skeptic, but he's one of those, okay, I'll believe you when I see it kind of people.
Ah, okay.
And now that he saw, he was very surprised. But at the time when we were talking about it right afterwards, he was still shaken because, great, he saw it, but that was not the way he would have wanted to.
Yeah. I mean,
not driving along the road.
Yeah. I mean, it would be ideal to have your first encounter or first sighting with, you know, something that you're really not sure exists, to be on your terms, but you know, it just never really ends up working out that way. But
right, I mean, the story from when I was little, and keep in mind my mother said I might have been 3 or 4, so very little, But I read ferociously, so I loved mythology of any sort, so cryptozoology fit right in.
Okay.
So, you know, even then I was camping and it was this being just outside the firelight, and I sat there and watched it for what to a small child felt like a long time. So, you know, that was my mother's story about what I told her when I was little. And so that's the kind of, you know, first encounter you want, I think. But this was just fine too, because we know everybody's okay afterward.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're in the safety of your vehicle type of thing as well, so.
Right. And, you know, and he or she did not get hit.
Yes, exactly. That would have been a whole can of worms had you know, the Sasquatch been hit by your car. I mean, there's doors that would have been open that you would not have been able to close. So I'm kind of glad you didn't hit it.
Yeah, I know. I hadn't actually thought about that until just this very second, but oh my goodness, if it had been hit and injured, you know, damage to the car notwithstanding, but then what? Then how do you explain it? Now, listen, my giant furry uncle, could you please fix his broken arm? No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'm thinking probably, you know, government officials will show up. You know, there's going to be a lot of military type people showing up and that sort of thing. But that's another story for another day.
That's a nightmare I wouldn't want to think about. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that your husband kind of was skeptical on the whole thing, and you were leaning more towards believing that these creatures did exist. Did in fact exist. You know, what did you know about Sasquatch before this? I mean, was it just something that you perused once in a while, or was just a kind of a thought that in the back of your head? What was your thought process on what a Sasquatch was before you had your sighting?
Well, I've always been, in terms of what they are, I think I always sort of had a general appearance in mind. But that's more the pop culture appearance, because of TV shows like Harry and the Hendersons and things like that from when I was little, where they were generally not mean creatures. They weren't, you know, they might get territorial somewhat like apes, but they weren't something to be scared of. You know, and a general appearance, a slightly humanish face, tall, you know, tall, fuzzy. Oh dear, much like my description to you, tall, dark, and fuzzy. But but nonetheless, that's what I saw. So, but anyway, yeah. So I had a general appearance in mind and a general demeanor that my brain told me was what they would be. And I realize it's largely formed by things that I'd read or seen, but it's not out of keeping with what we saw.
And what do you think of them now?
I think, yay, they're actually around and I've seen one, because a lot of the stories that people are putting up online or telling in their own podcasts. Yes. I've been listening to a lot of things since then. Are things where somebody said, yeah, well, it was 1950 and I was 10. And it's like, you know, while I'm sure that they're not falsely remembering something, because that kind of thing is going to make an impression on you. But I kind of wondered, because I hadn't heard anything recent. The most recent thing I'd heard up to that, you know, up to this point was something from like the 1990s, and while that's not a terribly long time ago, it's reassuring to know that they're not gone either, because so many things just cease to exist in our world nowadays, and with the growing the growing destruction of forests and things like that, it's just nice to know. And so after that encounter, that did remind me of how risky the modern world can be to them. It's nice to know that they're around. Yeah. That's, I guess, where that went.
Yeah, on a side note real quick, Margaret, is I live in British Columbia. I don't know, I'm not sure if you realize that or not, but you know, we went through a severe weather. Something happened with our weather. We went through an extreme heat in the summer to flooding in the winter, and we lost a lot of land to forest, we lost a lot of forest to wildfires. And you know, the one particular area where that burnt down was quite populated with the Sasquatch. So, you know, I often wonder myself, you know, how is our, and by our, I mean like humans, mentality affecting them, you know what I mean? Like, cause we're causing some destruction on this planet, and I think we're kind of displacing them. So, you know, I kind of understand that what you're saying is, you know, you're just kind of happy that you can see them and that they're still out there. Yeah. They have every right to want to hide from us. You know what I mean? I would too. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Margaret, did this light a fire in you? I mean, you mentioned that you're listening to a lot of podcasts. You're reading stuff on the internet. I mean, do you want to take it to another step? I mean, do you want to go out and look, or do you want to join groups, or how does it? Did this change you in any way?
Not really. It's just helpful to me to when I was deciding whether I wanted to tell anybody, because I didn't want to just encounter people who were going to say, "Oh, that's your story? Okay, haha." You know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to trust someone with the story and then get laughed at about it. Not like my own family or anything. They would say, "Oh, really?" and be happy about it. But that's why I kept looking into all the groups. Am I interested in going out and looking? No, because they don't need to be found.
That's a really
yes.
That's a different perspective that I've ever heard. You know, usually after people have sightings, for the most part, you know, they do want to go out and look and that sort of thing. So I think you're the first person I've spoken to who said that they would prefer not to. You, I guess, what was the sighting, you know, good enough for you? I mean, that you can kind of put that to bed. You don't need to think about
exactly.
It anymore.
That was enough for me. I believed that they were out there, and then I saw one, and now I'm satisfied. Because I think the people who are out there actively searching a lot might just be causing more harm than good. Because it's not like, let's say they found some in a forested area, and then, you know, because there were TV shows that I've noticed that people are going out and looking, and they say, "Oh, and we're looking here." Well, as soon as you know that, if you say, "Found one," then there's going to be a lot of other people out there looking, or people who want a trophy hunt or whatever, and that just messes up their world.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like we spoke about before we began recording, Margaret, you know, I don't like giving out, you know, exact locations just for that exact reason, as a matter of fact. You know, they deserve to be left alone if they prefer to be. And, you know, us kind of going out and looking for clues is not really doing much harm, but it could. You know what I mean? I mean, you go out into the woods and you find a tree structure, take some pictures or some footprints and make a plaster cast. That's all well and good. But I mean, once, how do I word this without offending people? Once you find a colony or a clan of them, and that knowledge becomes public or gets out somehow, that could lead to trouble for them. And I'd much prefer not to do that to them. So I understand. I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not adverse to saying, "Oh my goodness, that's obviously a footprint," and taking a cast, because it would be wonderful if we could provide enough information to the scientific community to say that they do exist. Because if they do, they're clearly not they're clearly more of an endangered species.
Yeah.
And so it would be nice to get that documented without too much public specificity.
Yeah. Do you think that they're ever going to be, quote unquote, you know, recognized as a living, breathing, you know, society of primates, I guess?
I would hope so, because, I mean, if you think about it, throughout history, there have been fantastical beings that have been written about by explorers and, you know, written about in, say, 1500 when somebody decided to cross the European Asian continent. And, you know, or they went to Africa or something, and they said there's these tall spotted beings with huge long necks, and people didn't believe them for hundreds of years until someone went, oh yeah, that we've seen those, we have photos of those, they're called giraffes, or pandas, or even the gorilla wasn't believed for a long time. And so I think being recognized as existing officially would be a good thing, but there'd have to be enough sort of public notice of like, great, okay, they exist, now leave them alone.
Yeah, I think that
so there's a certain amount of benefit to still being mysterious and undiscovered.
Yeah, and to that point, I really do believe that they will be acknowledged in the coming days. I don't think it's too far off. I mean, it's just there's so much technology now, I think it's a matter of time. But if I had my way, I think it would I would prefer that it's a slow drip rather than, you know, you're jumping the deep end. Just because, you know, the slower the information that can get released, you know, the easier people have a time processing it. And, you know, if you throw someone in the deep end and say, yeah, they're in this county or they're in this province or whatever, in this area, that area is going to get flooded with, you know, seekers. And I don't think that's going to do them any good. But I do think that day is coming. But that's another episode for another day. Margaret, let me ask you this question. Do you want to see another one? Would you want to see another one?
Absolutely.
And would you?
Absolutely.
Would you?
And I think it would be one of those camping situations, hopefully.
That would be ideal. Well, Margaret, this has been fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I do appreciate you telling your story. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Well, the pleasure is all mine. Really, it is. And for the listeners, just hang around. We're going to be right back. Stay there.
My name is Justin. And had a interesting encounter. I was driving home from work around 3 a.m. And just outside a not small city, so I was kind of surprised. We're just driving along, and all of a sudden, there's kind of the sort of the corner of my eye is a large shape in between, you know, in the median between the two sides of the double lane road. And it swerved to not hit whatever was suddenly there, looking the mirror behind me, and there's kind of a large outline of something. It was just, you know, not a lot of detail because it's all, you know, street lights and just kind of a black shape. And I'm like, that's pretty big. What was that? Did you see that? It's like, yeah. Was that a Bigfoot? I'm like, I don't know, but I don't see it now, but we didn't hit it. So that's good.
And you mentioned that you'd swerved over. I mean, like, how close were you to hitting it?
Well, I was, you know, close to the yellow line because in the left lane, and it was essentially standing on the shoulder, which is kind of small. So it was pretty much less than a foot from the white line. So it was pretty close.
Wow. Wow. And for the listeners, I should mention, we are speaking with Justin now. Justin is the husband of Margaret. And, he's given us his perspective of that night that they had this encounter. I mean, it's 3 a.m. They're going home from work. They're obviously tired, and they're not really. And I'm assuming, Justin, you weren't really expecting to run into anything like this or to, you know, have your night kind of turned on its head that way. How did you react after you saw this thing?
Well, at first it was just kind of swerve, because at first I thought maybe I was seeing things. Because I was, you know, driving up to it, I didn't see anything in the road. Like I said, it's two lanes on the other side, and this was in the median, you know, and kind of like the ditch space between. But I didn't see it pulling up, whereas we're coming because it's a straight road. And then it was like right there. And since I didn't see one, I'm like, did you see that? And like, yeah, no, that was there. So after, like, you know, my heart stopped racing and actually had to process, you know, had a little bit of time to process, it must have been running across the road when we were farther back. Yeah. But
could you make out any detail on the Sasquatch as it was standing there? I mean, did you get it in your headlights, or was it just a quick blur?
For me, it was a quick blur because I didn't see it until it was like essentially at the front end of the car. So it's just, I pretty much just saw like a black shape and kind of a sense of something large all of a sudden right there.
And you couldn't make out any other details, like what it was doing or like a face or anything like that?
I didn't see a face. I didn't realize how big it was until I checked the mirror. Oh. As I thought, and from there I just kind of saw a dark outline behind us, and then when I looked back a second later, I didn't see anything. So I'm guessing it was dark colored fur to not show anything.
Yeah. And how was your reaction to this? I mean, like Margaret mentioned earlier that, you know, you weren't really a believer in such things as Sasquatch. So, you know, you've seen this thing standing in the middle of the highway. What are you thinking now? I mean, like, what's your thought process as this is going on?
Well, I always thought they were, you know, a possibility that there were something. I wasn't sure if there was something that still existed or was just something that was, you know, misunderstanding, you know, something that people had seen before. But I'm like, okay, so then it's definitely a thing.
That's for sure.
So. Yeah, and I also didn't think that they were anywhere in our area, you know, let alone not just outside of, you know, a small city.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, there are woods around, but they're, you know, not large, you know, not what I would consider large. So, wouldn't have expected to see anything like that.
And I also asked Margaret about, you know, maybe who she told or who you talked to about it. Did you talk to anybody about it, or you just kind of want to leave it alone?
I pretty much only talked with her about it because most of the time, like, you know, work, sleep, and you don't know the people at work well enough to mention in half the time. I didn't have enough time to kind of shoot the breeze with anybody work.
And Margaret also mentioned, you know, how do you bring that up? I mean, you know what I mean? How do you inject a conversation about Sasquatch to people who aren't really ready to talk about it or want to talk about it?
Yeah, I
understand that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't mind talking about it, it just didn't come up. And then, you know, she says, I'm like, hey, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, I have no problems talking about it. I'm like, I don't have a whole lot of information because it was kind of blink and you miss it type thing. And I was more worried about staying on the road and upright.
Yeah. Did your encounter change you at all? I mean, has it changed your perspective on anything in the terms of, you know, believing in something that's not supposed to exist? And I use that term loosely, but I mean, has it changed anything in you at all?
It made me more certain that because I always expected there was a lot that we didn't know about the universe, and it's just solidified that, you know, a little bit more. It's like there is indeed a lot more, and that it can be closer to home than you think.
Absolutely. Justin, there's another question I want to ask. Like, if you had to speculate, like, what do you think it was doing? Was it just crossing the road? And why do you think it stopped right there? Was it to avoid you, or is it to hide? Like, if you had to speculate, what do you think?
If I had to guess, I would just be that it was in the process of crossing the road and didn't expect me as much as I didn't expect it. And it just kind of stopped because another large object moving at a high rate of speed.
Yeah. And Margaret also mentioned, you know, once you guys got home, it was kind of, you kind of discussed it between each other. But like, I mean, I asked her, like, how did it affect her? I mean, did you lose sleep, or did it cause you to kind of have an adrenaline rush, or what happened after that?
Well, initially I had, you know, the adrenaline rush that, you know, almost running into a large object gives you. But I didn't lose sleep because I've run into other things that would probably scare other people, that, you know, there's no air of menace around it. So it never felt threatened. So wasn't really expecting it to chase me home or anything. So like, well, that was a thing, and then passed out.
Wow. Well, you know, a lot of times when people have run-ins with these creatures, you know, a lot of the times it kind of lights a fire in people. I mean, they want to learn more about it. They want to study things. They want to talk to other people who've had kind of similar encounters. But, you know, it's kind of a common thing. It's not too often I hear someone that kind of say, okay, well, it happened, and kind of leave it there.
Yeah, well, I like, you know, we've done ghost hunts and other stuff.
Oh, you're mine.
You know, in the past, so.
Oh, you're pretty open to things such as that, then.
Yeah. In ghost hunts and other things, I've seen a lot of things that are kind of hard to explain to people, that if they don't really, you know, believe in the similar vein. So that's why I'm like, don't talk much, but, you know, there's things there. I just, you know, never expected to see the Sasquatch in person.
Yeah.
And it's probably easier to process and deal with the fact that, you know, I wasn't on foot. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, on foot and gone so quickly, it barely registered. So I didn't have time to.
It these things move so fast. And sometimes it's kind of like, did I just see that? You know what I mean? You kind of doubt yourself. So it's kind of good that you had Margaret sitting beside you and you guys both saw.
Yeah. If she hadn't been there, I just would have assumed that it was, you know, something or nothing or a shadow or something. Because like I said, I didn't see it coming up. Well, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Justin, let me ask you this last question before I let you go, though. Is, would you want to see another one?
Oh, that'd be great.
Just maybe a little bit slower this time?
Yeah, you know, a little bit slower. And, you know, I don't mind being up close and personal, because most of the stories I've heard of them, they're usually not aggressive unless you're causing a problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I hear a lot of that, actually. You know, people think that they're vicious, mean creatures, but they're not. I really don't think they are. They'd rather be left alone, much like, you know, most animals do. So I don't buy that whole they're evil and, you know, bloodthirsty killers type of thing. I don't buy into that, but I'm glad you don't either.
Yeah, I don't, because if they were bloodthirsty and evil, we'd know more about them, because they would have gotten more of us.
That's for sure. Well, Justin, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on the show and tell us your perspective of your encounter. Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, you're welcome.
And for the listeners, if you guys just want to hang around, we're going to close out the show. Stay there. And we're back, everyone. We are back to pull a pin on this one, but before we do that, we have to give a huge thank you to Margaret and Justin. Thank you. Thank you both for coming on the show and sharing with us your experience that you had that night. I do appreciate it. I also appreciate you, you know, bringing to light some things that I never really thought about. One of those things is, how do you segue, you know, your Sasquatch experience into a conversation that, you know, really, without someone being specific and asking about it, how do you tell other people? I mean, for the listeners, like, when you had your sighting, and if you had a sighting, how did you talk to other people about it? Like, does it get discussed at the dinner table, or do you kind of keep this close to your chest? I mean, a lot of the times people don't talk about it. A lot of the times. And, you know, I don't have that luxury because, you know, like I mentioned in the interview, I'm quote unquote the Sasquatch guy here around my area. So people have no problem talking to me about it. And I welcome it, actually. So, you know, I don't have that luxury of not knowing, that feeling, you know. How do you bring that up in conversation? Write to me, let me know. And the other thing is, Sasquatch are closer to populated areas than we think. You know, I take it for granted because, you know, I can drive, you know, 20, 30 minutes away from my house and be in a Sasquatch area. And, you know, I don't live in a super huge city. I mean, it's less than 10,000 people, but, you know, it's still populated enough, in my opinion, where, you know, we're not going to see them wandering around the streets. But, you know, and we don't live that far from where they are. So, you know, my perspective is different than a lot of other people's, because, you know, where I am and who I am. So I guess I got to start looking at things from the other side, you know, from other people's points of view and other people's perspectives. So thank you guys both so much. I do appreciate it. You did give me something to think about, and I enjoyed having you on. So thank you again. Let's see. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, email me at NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. That's NICOLA, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I'd also love to hear about how you talk to people regarding your experience or your encounter with Sasquatch. I mean, does it come up or will you openly talk about it? But yeah, write to me. Let me know. It's a little bit of an interesting fact that I'd like to do a little bit more studying on if I could. So you'd help me out. So NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. Let's see. I think we're going to get out of here, people. But remember, May 13th, 2023, Nicola Valley. We're going to do the conference. So, obviously there'll still be more information coming. Things are kind of going at a snail's pace right now. And I'm not really liking that because that's not my way of doing things, but, more information will come out, but, May 13th, 2023. And of course that's the date for the Sasquatch conference here in Merritt, British Columbia. So, I think that's going to do it for this week, everyone. Thank you guys all for tuning in. And until next week, I'll talk to you later. Bye.